Well, the BizNews columnist, Dirk Hartford, had some very good things to say about Dr. Corne Mulder in his latest column, which is on the site today. Primarily that he says a man with great acumen and understands what's happening in politics, not surprisingly, given that he is the longest-serving member of parliament in South Africa and is going into this big watershed election with high hopes, no doubt. We're going to find out from Dr. Mulder and his Freedom Front expectations. Corne, you're getting a really good reputation as being a wise fellow, which is lovely, I guess, given that politics isn't known for people with great levels of acumen, but it's something I think very well deserved and well earned. But you still are working in a party that's unlikely on its own, or not unlikely, it will not be the majority party on its own, pretty certain about that. So what kind of a campaign strategy has the Freedom Front Plus been following as we come up to this very big vote on Wednesday?
Yes, Alec, no, thank you very much for the opportunity, and also thank you for the nice compliment. I always believe that in all parties, you'll find some politicians that really stand out and that really do make a contribution. Because, and I think it's necessary that that be the case, because in general, politicians don't have a very good image at all, not in South Africa, definitely not so. So the more people that can come to the fore and set an example, the better. With regard to the election campaign, I think we were very successful in the sense, you'll remember that not very long ago in a previous election, there was a very strong message going out from certain parties trying to beat the ANC by saying, we are the only party, we are the biggest party, only us have a chance to defeat the ANC, etc. We found it very disturbing. Part of that was also, don't waste your vote on some other parties. And we had to fight that kind of narrative. And I think we've now moved beyond that, where the electorate realizes that in a proportional system, all votes count. First of all, you can't waste your vote. And in this election, we will have three ballots. So you will have three opportunities to vote, and all three of those ballots will count. Secondly, the more important thing as far as I'm concerned is this, that electorate also now seems to understand and realize that coalitions are here to stay. In other words, no single party is going to govern most likely in many places. And that brings us to coalition governments. And then it doesn't depend on how big your party is. It's a question if you can be part of a governing majority and you can bring what you can bring to the table into that kind of government. And I think that is exciting. I've not heard any ads or any nowhere it being said in this election, don't waste your vote, or you can waste your vote, or only us. So luckily, we've moved beyond that situation. And that is very positive, because I think that's part of the maturing of our democracy.
Internally at the Freedom Front Plus, do you regard 2019 as a particularly successful campaign, or is it something that you're expecting with this lot will be just a stepping stone to something even better in 2024? I'd love to get your feeling on that.
Well, in 2019, we did have a good campaign way back at that stage, because it was a very important election. We've been having a difficult time. If you look back in the history of the party, one must understand that in the 1999 election, the party was almost wiped out at the polls. We lost 75% of our support in 1999. And it was a long slog to get back, four elections, five terms, to get us back to the levels of prior to 1999. But we kept on doing what we did best, and we could convince the electorate to a certain extent. So 2019 was a very important election, but we knew that that was a stepping stone. And the interesting thing is, in the South African context, because our elections are staggered between provincial, national, and then in the different cycle, local, we are almost always in election mode in South Africa. Once we've gone past this election, we will immediately start with the next, because in 2026, it will be local government elections throughout South Africa, and that will be depending on what happens in this election once again. So we are continuously in election cycles. But to us, this election is a very important one, and I perceive it to be a foundation that we are laying for 2026 and beyond.
I've been doing quite a bit of work crunching the numbers from 2019 and 2021, and it was interesting to see that 5 million voters from 2019 did not turn up for the local elections. Extraordinary that you had 17 million voters, more than 17 million voters voting in 2019. And that was a decline in the poll from previous years. But then in the local elections, only 12 million voters. Now, are you expecting, or maybe you can actually unpack that for us, because if one tries to extrapolate what's happened on the local level into a national level, you might slip up. They just seem to be two completely different
Absolutely. Elections. I think there are basically two reasons why that happened. The first one one must understand is that with local government elections, the polling, the percentage poll is always much lower. There's less interest in local government. I don't know why it should be more, because that's the closest form of government to the people themselves. But we normally find that when once we come to national and provincial, the percentage poll will increase and there will be more people go out and vote. So that's the first reason why 2021 was a lower poll. But the second one was because of a huge disillusionment with political parties, with politicians in general, but specifically with the ruling party as well. And the interesting thing is, as we go into this election, yes, we expect a higher poll, but I hoped that we will have, with all due respect, less people supporting the ANC going to the polls, that the disillusioned ones would stay away from the polls or would vote for alternative parties in the opposition. And that is where MK now comes in, and I think that plays a very important role, where I'm not convinced that MK is this real big opposition alternative. It could be part of a mopping up thing to unite the ANC once again.
Talking about MK and all the controversy around Jacob Zuma and so on, from your perspective, how do you think they're going to get the vote out? And I say this because the more I look at political parties as businesses, you've almost got to get, Musi Maimani put it beautifully in an interview earlier this week. He said the ground war is what matters, the logistics, the knocking on doors, the engaging with people, getting them to the polls, rather than the air war, the media darlings, and perhaps what you might be seeing in the mass media. How are they going to turn how's MK going to turn that into votes?
It's a combination. Because of our diversity, I think our voters also react differently. Some constituencies are programmed since birth that it's your duty, you go out and vote when it's election day. And it's not so much an effort to get those people to go out and vote. There must be huge problems before they will not go out and vote. In other constituencies, it's more difficult. You need to turn people out on polling day. And it's a huge logistical nightmare to a very large extent. Someone will tell you that the ANC has almost hired all the taxis out there to try and move 12 million people on polling day. When you come to MK, it's going to be a problem, because MK is a strange phenomena. It's a political party, but I don't think there's much of a structure. There are no real ground roots, support in terms of branches, membership, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost a personality cult. And the strange thing in this election is, I thought about that yesterday when I was driving and I saw some posters. Two parties, for example, let's take the IFP. The IFP is using a photograph of the deceased Mr. Mawisuthu Buthelezi, who's not on the ballot box. He's not on the list. He's not a candidate. But his picture is being used for strategic reasons with a slogan that says, "Trust us." Oh, that's a bit strange. And then the same with MK, being used Zuma's face, but he's not going to be elected to parliament. So it's a strange, almost if we are moving into from the one phase in our politics into a new phase where some of the older guys are still around, but we're moving into a new thing. And with regard to MK, I'm not convinced that they have this ground game that they can bring to the table necessarily. And I may be wrong, but I think the polls are overestimating them.
The mopping up exercise, as you put it, would, at the latest polls, suggest that between MK and the ANC, even though the ANC would be down in the early 40s, will have enough to form a majority government. Is that the way you're seeing it? Or certainly that appears to be their strategy.
Yes, absolutely. If I talk about a mopping up, I honestly believe that even though Mr. Zuma is now the leader of MK, he is a diehard ANC person and he will die an ANC stalwart. He can't be anything else. And I think part of his strategy was to move into bringing into the fold disillusioned ANC people who left the party after, from his perspective, some new leadership took over when Ramaphosa became president, etc., etc. And I think that part of his idea and his strategy is to bring all those people back into the fold, get them to vote for the MK, and then MK can bring them back into a coalition with the ANC. But I understand there's a very strict one or two preconditions. And one of those preconditions is that Ramaphosa cannot be the president after the election. But we will see how that plays out. There could be a compromise to make Ramaphosa still the president. And then at the end of the year, he may retire and go out in the night and somebody else may be elected in his stead. And then obviously, I think I understand that part of that deal is also that the prosecution of Zuma should go away as he wanted it to happen for many, many years already.
Deals and deals. What about the MPC? What happens if, clearly you guys have been working hard, you've been having meetings, you must have some understanding or some belief in what each of the parties would bring to the multi-party coalition. What if parties in the MPC don't bring, let's just say they have you down for 4% on Freedom Front Plus and you come with 2%? Is there any consequence of that?
No, there's no direct consequence. The only direct consequence would be that we as an entity, as a multi-party charter, who is not a coalition, it's a pre-election agreement, that the parties that signed that do not succeed in being able to create a majority and to put a government together. And I think we should be honest with the electorate. Indications clearly indicate that we on our own will not reach 51%. We know that, just as the ANC will not reach 51%. So coalitions are on the table very much so. So the question would be, after the election, let's for argument say multi-party charter gets around 35 or whatever the case may be, we don't know. To get to 50, we'll need a further 15%. And then it goes to numbers, actual numbers, where we will need the support of other political parties who are currently not within the multi-party charter, but who do get members elected to become part of a grouping to form a coalition government and to see if it's possible. And it's going to be fascinating. The polls will close on Wednesday night. The counting will start. And rather sooner than later, we will start to see how this works out and what kind of permutations could be possible.
And what happens then? What happens after you know where you are? How long do you have to put together a coalition?
It seems that the polls will close on Wednesday the 29th. Normally, the IEC takes until the Saturday to finalize the results. But it seems that because of all the different permutations and all the different challenges and the third ballot, that they want to give themselves until the Monday. I think Monday is the 2nd or the 3rd of June. To finalize the result. Now, you'll remember how that works. We all get to the Nasrec or where the Gallagher this time, and we'll see all the numbers of the different political parties, the number of votes, and then there's a little function, and then at some stage a button is pressed, and those number of votes are all changed in terms of the formula into seats. But long before then, we would all have made the necessary calculations to know exactly what's going to play out. Then it seems from Parliament's side, because that's the next thing, judiciary is then in. Given the information from the IEC to indicate. And if you then have a situation where one person may be elected on one or more of the lists, which could happen, somebody could be on a provincial list and get elected there, but also on the national list, that individual must then indicate which position will you be taking up. And the moment you do that, then somebody else moves up. It seems at this stage that we have a public holiday on Sunday, the 16th of June. And because it's a Sunday, the Monday, the 17th will be a public holiday, that Parliament will meet on Monday, the 17th in Cape Town, in the Cape Town International Convention Center, which will be set up as a parliamentary precinct. And that Parliament will meet on Monday, the 17th. The Chief Justice should be there. And then all 400 members will be sworn in during the course of the morning. Then we will come together the same morning to elect a speaker. And then most likely in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, we will have to elect President of the country. And then on Saturday the 22nd will be the inauguration of the new president at Loftus in Pretoria.
Oh, that's so interesting, because if you don't have deals to get a majority party, it'd be very, very interesting to see who gets elected president, because presumably there could be a number of votes for that.
Absolutely. The voting of the election, we'll first see how it plays out with the speaker, because the election of the speaker is a precursor for the election just immediately after that of the president. Now, if there are deals, then you'll see those deals already being implemented when we elect the speaker, because there may be some agreement or some arrangement, and then the speaker gets elected. If the results give a clear majority, let's say to the ANC and MK to form 52% or something, and they come to an agreement, we will see that play out with the election of the speaker. But if that's not the case, there may be last-minute deals, and there will be negotiations going on throughout until the 17th, until we are in the chamber. And what could happen is a repeat of what happened when we elected the mayor in Johannesburg, where there was no election agreement beforehand who is going to become the mayor of Johannesburg. So as we went in there, different parties could nominate different candidates. And if the ANC does not have a majority for speaker or president, they will nominate their candidate. And then we will have a ballot paper being printed. We will have election in parliament with ballot boxes and with the voters' roll being the 400 new members. And we will be called to the vote, and we will vote one by one, and the parties will check, and we will count the votes. And if somebody does not get the full majority in the first round, the candidate with the least votes will fall out. And that party will be forced in the second round to decide where they put their vote. So it could be that somebody quickly reaches a majority, or it could be that you get a ganging up of all the opposition votes, one by one by one, falling in behind a different opposition candidate. Until right in the end, all the opposition in a secret ballot united vote for a president from the opposition, and the ANC is kept out. And that will be fascinating, because the moment that happens, we have a president not coming from the former ruling party then, who will then have to form a coalition government with all the powers that the Constitution will give that president, and we will be in an interesting phase in our political dispensation.
Sure. This political story is becoming more and more interesting. Just to go into the individual provinces, you've got a MPC or a member of the provincial council in the Freedom Front in every single province except in KZN, and in fact, two in the Northwest, so, and three in Gauteng. So is that, I guess, just getting one or two members of those provincial councils are going to be, given that the races are so tight in a number of those provinces, it's going to be quite interesting to see whether the multi-party coalition, of which you're a member, is going to have enough to tip the scales there, and then how the spoils, if you like, are going to be divided up. Can you give us some insight on how that might work?
Yes, your analysis is absolutely correct. We hope to break into, and break in is not a good word, but politically speaking, into KZN in this election and to get representation there as well. Then you must understand that Mpumalanga, for example, has increased the legislature from 30 to 52 or something. The legislature is much bigger now, so we will hope to get some more representation there. And if you look at the coalition possibilities, everybody knows KZN is going to be one, Gauteng will be one. I work very hard, and I believe that the Western Cape could be one, which I think is a good thing. National could be one, and then there's still the Free State. Free State and the Northern Cape could also form coalitions, perhaps. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. And if you understand that, for example, let's take a smaller legislature like the Northern Cape or Free State, it's only 30 members. So at the moment, the ANC, I think, governs the Northern Cape with 18 seats. If they lose three seats, it's a 15-15 split, and we can form a coalition. And it's most likely to happen. Even if you look on national level, when I saw the turnout for South African expats abroad, when they voted last week or earlier in the week, huge turnout, huge enthusiasm, which indicates to me that there's something in the air. But if you look at the numbers, all those votes that were cast in that from abroad will most likely elect one or maybe two members of parliament, which sounds small. Two members out of 400, but you never know. Those two different members of parliament elected by the expats could make the difference to get to a majority to elect a speaker or a president. And from our perspective, we will be involved. We are in all the provinces active. I believe we will get people elected in all provinces. And where we can form coalition governments, we will definitely do so with the other parties in the multi-party charter. And where need be, bring other parties who get people elected that we can work with into those coalition governments. If you look at the Western Cape, interestingly enough, the multi-party charter agreement is not in force in the Western Cape, because the idea was the DA governs the Western Cape in any case. But if you look at some of the polls, and if you look at what's happening, and I'm responsible for the Western Cape, it's most possible that the DA could also go below 50%. We have indicated that we will cooperate with them. There are also the ACDP, that is a multi-party charter party in the Western Cape. And we will be able to form a government in the Western Cape to keep the ANC and the EFF out of power, because they are not a real serious contender in any case in the Western Cape. We know that.
But the PA is, and that's a long story on itself.
Yes, absolutely. The PA definitely is. The PA is, Yeah, that plays out.
Might there after this election be some kind of a toenadering or getting together between the DA and the PA, given that there's been so much bad blood in the months leading up to it?
I think, with all due respect, I think it's a problem of personalities and not so much a problem of policy. I've always said if individuals stand in the way of development, if individuals stand in the way of cooperation, if individuals stand in the way of forming new government that can take South Africa forward, those individuals should go, whoever they may be. So we will have to see how that plays out. And if you look at the policy positions of the Patriotic Alliance, they very much stronger, very strongly align with the positions taken with the multi-party charter in terms of expropriation without compensation, guaranteed property rights, free market economy, all those things, strict on law and order. Those are the things that align with what we are trying to do. And whether we like it or not, a party like the Patriotic Alliance will get people elected in some of the provinces. They will get people elected on the national level, and we will have to deal with that. In the same way that Musi Maimane will get people elected in some provinces or national, Rise Mzansi will do the same. And there may be other individual parties that can have members elected. And then we need to try and put together a workable kind of coalition situation. And I think that's possible. And I hope that we can achieve that. But the ball is in the court of the electorate at this stage.
It is interesting when you mention the new parties, because there are two schools of thought. The one school says that they are going to be shooting stars and, in fact, not really having that much representation. But another school of thought says there are definitely going to be some breakthroughs. PA hasn't had anyone in the National Assembly before, in other words, in the National Parliament. It's almost certain that they're going to get a significant representation there. Of course, we've spoken earlier about MK as well. And now you mentioned Boza and Rise Mzansi. Of course, Action SA also in that mix, which could make the portfolio committees very interesting, because a lot of those parties, I've spoken to their representatives, and there are very smart people who have been drawn to those individual units, not just the leaders of the party, but people around them, which I guess brings a thesis, and I'd love to hear your thought on it, that the level of debate, the level of discourse and maybe legislation itself will go up a notch or two in the next session.
Definitely. Even if the ANC do get a small majority in a coalition with whoever, they will be a weakened government who will have to take more cognizance of what other parties say and do in parliament. And if you look at the portfolio committees, 13 members in the committee, if there's no clear party with the majority on their own, it's going to be fascinating to accommodate the different parties. You'll have to work out a formula of representation for the different political parties. And then you will have to find compromises in terms of legislation, in terms of oversight, in terms of all those things that committees are responsible for. If you look at the national ballot, for example, ballot one, you'll find more than 50 parties, I think 52 of some, whatever the case may be. And if you run through that list, I would mark, I think, 10, maybe 11 parties, which I indicate are serious contenders who most likely will get people elected. And in the end, if a party now is going to get one or two seats in this election, that number of two members of parliament may make the difference, whether when you elect a speaker or when you have to pass a budget. No party can then say, I'm a big party, because if you don't have a majority on your own, you're only a bigger small party, because you will be forced. And that is the wonderful thing of coalitions. You need to cooperate and you need to be able to bring people together and accommodate them. And I think that's the interesting thing that plays out. And there's in the committees and in the workings of parliament, it's going to be very relevant. And as you correctly say, you've got lots of very, very competent people in some of these other parties. To a large extent, the focus has been on the leaders. But you have to look beyond the leaders. There are brilliant people in all the parties with wonderful ideas. And I think we will enhance our democratic process very much so.
So to close off with, you are the longest serving MP. I'd love to hear how you think, as of this point, there's still a few more days to go, but as of this point, how it's all going to break down. And let's just stick with let's go with the National Assembly, and maybe if you've got some thoughts on more thoughts on the provincial assemblies.
It seems to me, and the polls are very difficult to take seriously sometimes, because polls is a snapshot for 1 second, and you don't know exactly. And our electorate is also a difficult electorate. I'm not convinced that many of these pollsters do that, all go through the trouble to go and knock and visit people one by one at home randomly to do these polls. Many of these polls are done on social media or on cell phones, etc. You can't really rely on that. But the atmosphere in the country at the moment, and there's something in the air, and I can feel that, indicates to me that we should expect the ANC to go below 50%, first point. I think they will go further below 50 than we think. I think they will be somewhere between 40 and 45, most likely. And that, well, the positive of that is they will not be able to form a government with one or two of the rats of mice parties with one or two seats. They will be forced to have some kind of another arrangement. But as they try, the multi-party charter will do exactly the same. And I hope that the opposition parties grasp the importance of the moment where we suddenly can have, after 30 years, a different multi-party government. Consisting of other parties than the ruling party. So on national level, I'm optimistic for the multi-party charter. I would have hoped that we could have been way further down the line than we are at the moment, and there are very lots of reasons for that. But still, I think that the parties within the charter will do well. We will get the necessary support, and obviously we're going to go full out to form a government and bring in other parties that we can work with and operate with to keep the ANC and the EFF out of government. If you look at the provinces, for example, KZN was a clear-cut case where the IFP should have come out on top, but that was before MK became a relevant factor, and it's very difficult to predict. MK's basic support or major support is in the northern parts of KZN. It's very difficult to poll those. It's difficult to ascertain and to see if those people go out to the polls on polling day. We don't know. But KZN is going to be a difficult one, but it's going to be a coalition in some other way. Gauteng also, obviously. And then the Western Cape, either DA retains its majority, it will be very slim, but I think it's going to be a coalition as well. And the important thing then is that you've got the economic heart of South Africa, KZN, Gauteng, and the Western Cape, out of ANC hands in any case, in the first instance, in coalition with opposition parties. As a bonus, Northern Cape most likely, Free State may also be a bonus. And the result of that is that the stranglehold that the ANC had on the country for 30 years will now be broken. And it will not be the final wonderful, clear victory, and that's the end of the ANC. The ANC will slowly but surely go back in time, but this will lay the foundation for 2026, where we can take final balanced control over metros, over municipalities, etc. And then hopefully, if we can't succeed now, 2029 will be the dawn of a completely new beginning. But we will not succeed in 2029 if we do not go to the polls now, Wednesday.
I can't let you go before testing a little more on the Western Cape. Tony Leon made the comment earlier this week that anybody who votes against the DA in the most successfully governed province in the country, the only one that's being well governed, needs their heads read. Why do you think that there will be sufficient people voting against the DA in the Western Cape so that it won't have a majority anymore?
Being the former leader of the DA, he couldn't say anything else, could he? Now, the reality is that we should just put all the facts on the table. In the Western Cape, we have 25 municipalities, and the DA is governing very well. But what they don't say is that in 11 of those 25, they are currently in coalition governments with the Freedom Front Plus. We are in 11 coalition governments in this province. So if you say it's going well in the Western Cape, it's not only because of the DA, it's because of Freedom Front Plus playing a role as a stable, reliable coalition partner that brings clean audits, no corruption, et cetera, and we will continue to do so also on provincial level. And we have to be honest. If we say it's not good for the ANC to govern South Africa alone, why is it good for the DA to govern alone? I don't believe in governance by one political party. I think always collective leadership, collective decision-making forces you to compromise and get beyond yourself to think that you've got all the answers all by yourself, listen to other parties, and then find the best way forward. And that's the same for the Western Cape. And I hear what is being said, but if you look at the reality, in the Western Cape, the legislature, 42 seats. The DA currently has got 24. We are making huge progress in the Western Cape, there's no doubt, and that it will play out in this election. I'm the premier candidate. I get overwhelming support at the moment. And then there's also the factor of the Patriotic Alliance. Action SA is a relevant role player. The National Cape Congress is relevant, and other parties as well. But it's not a problem. It's not a fiasco that somebody needs to go out and try to rescue the Western Cape. Rescue them from what? If a coalition government can bring even better government to the people of the Western Cape, why not? Definitely we should do that.
Dr. Corne Mulder is the premier candidate for the Western Cape. I'm Alec Hogg. The premier candidate for the Freedom Front Plus for the Western Cape, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.